It's Air Talk on 89.3 KPECC. I'm Larry Mantle. Spencer Davis, a British guitarist and band leader whose rock group under his name had hits back in the 60s, Gimme Some Lovin' and I'm a Man. Spencer Davis died today at the age of 81. He was being treated for pneumonia, according to Davis's agent. British media reported Davis lived in California, but we don't have any specifics on where that was. Certainly Spencer Davis, an influential British rock figure, guitarist and band leader, Spencer Davis, dying today at the age of 81, according to his agent. You're listening to Air Talk on 89.3 KPECC and the KPECC app. The San Francisco Board of Supervisors are scheduled to vote today on what's called the Karen Act. What this would do is allow people who were the target of a 911 call to file a civil lawsuit against the person who called 911 to potentially allege that there was discrimination involved in that call. The discrimination would not just be racial or ethnic. It could be under age or disability. Anything that is a protected class could be grounds for that civil lawsuit. Of course, we're all aware of the Central Park incident in which a woman alleged that she was being threatened by an African-American bird watcher in the park, the video that went viral, and, of course, the subsequent word that came just a few days ago that she was alleging that she actually was under physical threat by the bird watcher in the park. Joining us to talk about San Francisco and the potential passage of its CARES Act is Jody Armour, USC Professor of Law. Professor, good to have you with us again.
Always good to be with you, Larry.
So we've had a number of these disturbing incidents in the news. San Francisco has had several of its own where people of color have had the police called on them for engaging in completely lawful activities. What are your thoughts about an act like this discouraging those sorts of discriminatory calls?
Well, it is a real harm. It recognizes that black people do suffer harm from what I call the black tax, that kind of sometimes profiling is involved in which a black person looks suspicious to someone who decides then to bring in emergency resources, the police were in this case, and some would say weaponize the police against the black person or member from another socially marginalized or stereotyped group, weaponize the police against them. And you mentioned in your opening Amy Cooper and Christian Cooper, the bird watcher, African-American bird watcher in Central Park, Christian Cooper, when asked Amy Cooper to put a dog on a leash, she said, "I will weaponize the police against you," essentially. And if the police had arrived, Christian Cooper could have become George Floyd. And so there are real risks that are generated by false reports to the police about blacks. The question, I think, becomes trickier, Larry, when we're talking about behavior that isn't so clearly fraudulent as it was in the case of Amy Cooper, where she's clearly not really fearful for her safety in any way.
Well, and there you have video evidence also. Most of these cases, you're not going to have video like you had as the bird watcher, you know, recorded what happened.
Absolutely. And so you're going to have a lot more ambiguity. And where there's ambiguity, I start to worry more because there's more discretion and more room for, you know, various kinds of biases to play themselves out there, the things we've talked about a lot through the year. So I think there's a lot of positive things about it, but there are also some points to be concerned about as well.
Bill in the San Gabriel Valley says, isn't it already a crime to make a false report, even a 911 call? Why is this law even needed? This will cause more problems than it solves. That's Bill in the San Gabriel Valley. Professor Armour?
Yeah, well, it is already a crime. And the lawmaker said that they were adding this to that kind of already criminal penal, you know, act, penalization, to make it clear that there's a civil remedy, number one, that you can seek money damages for the harm that you suffered. So I guess in tort, you could otherwise bring an intentional infliction of emotional distress kind of claim. This gives you something a little more specific, and it clearly defines it as a hate crime. And that worries me a little more, Larry, because I worry about criminalizing our way out of our social problems. A civil action is different. It's a tort action between private parties. But if you start saying we're going to make this something that the state becomes involved in and we're going to criminalize people, then I become worried about the carceral logic of that leads to.
We're talking with USC law professor Jody Armour, also with us, former prosecutor, currently criminal defense attorney Ambrosio Rodriguez. He led the sex crime prosecution team with the Riverside County District Attorney's Office. Mr. Rodriguez, good to have you with us again on Air Talk. What do you think of the Karen Act that San Francisco is poised to pass?
Larry, thank you for having me back. I agree with the professor. I thought his statements were really on point. My concern with this case is, look, we have to acknowledge what the history behind this, right? Because the Cooper case in New York, to many of us who have been involved in issues of social justice, just reminded us of Emmett Till, a modern-day Emmett Till, and but for cell phones, who knows what would have happened. My concern is a situation where a person calls 911 in good faith, and there's an arrest. But because the standard of proof for arrest is lower than the standard of proof to file a criminal charge, and that the person who was called on doesn't face criminal charges, can sue someone who called 911 on, and that may have an effect of people in good faith not calling 911, which, you know, I think it's important that people of good faith feel comfortable in reporting what they suspect to be a crime. I mean, we rely on people to call 911 in order to keep our society safe.
Well, and so are you concerned that if someone is witnessing something and they're not completely sure what's going on, where they might, you know, now call the police because they think it's some sort of a threat or criminal activity is going on, that they might think twice about that, or that they might not be willing to share a visual description, physical description of the person, because if they're a protected class, that could leave them open to liability?
Correct. I think it would have a chilling effect on people calling 911. And to the professor's point that using the criminal justice system to deal with issues of social justice and kind of how the problems with our society does have some very negative and unintended consequences.
All right. I'd like to hear from listeners what you think about this, the Karen Act in San Francisco that's scheduled for a vote today by the San Francisco Board of Supervisors. But it seems pretty much a formality that they are going to pass this. Once again, it would allow for someone who is the target of a 911 call to sue the person who placed that 911 call, alleging that there was bias, discrimination, that there was a negative intent going against someone who's a member of a protected class in making that call to 911. We're at 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722. Professor Armour, do you think that it might make people reluctant to describe a person of color specifically if they're calling in about something for fear that could be interpreted as targeting the individual?
Yeah, well, you know, that is one of the concerns whenever you bring in the penal sanction to govern this kind of behavior, Larry. If we get out of the criminal part, the criminal law part, which we hopefully have learned after 30, 40 years, and mass incarceration isn't, you know, really a satisfactory way to address these problems, and go another route and say, we're not going to zero in on that, but allow a civil remedy in cases like this, then I think the intent requirement is an awful high hurdle to clear. You know, someone is going to have to take this person to court, seeking civil damages. They're going to have to find an attorney who's going to take the case, who's going to think it's a pretty winnable case, right? You know, on a contingent fee basis. The judge is acting as gatekeeper, is going to get rid of frivolous claims and filter out a lot of cases that shouldn't be going forward, and convince a jury that I called, the person called because they had this racial animus towards black people, not because they had any kind of other grounds for real concern. I just think that's a high hurdle. It's not insurmountable, but I think it's a high enough hurdle that I don't see the floodgates of litigation opening if this act passes and a lot of actions actually going forward.
So I know you teach a lot of law students and you talk about tort matters in your courses. I'm just wondering, for the person making the call, even the civil exposure, couldn't that be an issue because people can and do file what are weak cases without a lot of evidence on their side, hoping the other person will settle? The person who is the target of the lawsuit is going to have to hire an attorney to help that person through the legal process. So isn't there still some potential harm to someone who's making a good faith call, not intending to discriminate?
Larry, that can never be deny that there's vexatious litigation that goes on out here in our justice system all the time, and it's unfortunate. We try to do what we can to minimize it with various safeguards. We don't always do a perfect job, far from it sometimes, and you have to weigh those costs against the benefits of recognizing a claim like this, saying we're going to vindicate the interest of people who are in Christian Cooper's position who could have been turned into George Floyd. So it becomes a balancing act, but those concerns are real, Larry.
We're talking with USC Law Professor Jody Armour, also former prosecutor, now criminal defense attorney, Ambrosio Rodriguez, who worked for a number of years in the Riverside County District Attorney's Office. Let's talk with Taylor in Hollywood. You're on Air Talk.
Hi. I just dived into this briefly and heard that gentleman saying that it was so outrageous that this law would be on the books. I think it would be very helpful for it to be on the books, because I think it hopefully would stop some white people from taking that step, knowing they could be prosecuted. I doubt that anyone would frivolously on the other end go through that length, but at least hopefully it would make some people who go to that, and I'm white and I'm saying this, you know, that don't do that. Don't use your race card to do that.
Taylor, I appreciate it. And one thing we should mention, this, of course, would not just apply to white callers. It would apply to anybody if it is alleged in the civil claim that this was based on going after the person because the person was a member of a protected class. Ambrosio Rodriguez, your response to Taylor.
Yeah, I don't think I thought it was outrageous. I think it's problematic. I mean, it's a problematic issue. I think one of the things that San Francisco has done is open up this conversation. It has created an experiment because this is a law that's within the county and the city of San Francisco, not statewide. So it actually is kind of an experiment for us to see what would happen if a law like this is enacted. Obviously, it's not enough that it's enacted. It would have to be enforced both on the criminal side by either the DA or the city attorney's office in San Francisco and see what would happen civilly. But I do think that anytime the government passes a law or we enact a new right or a new cause of action, there are unintended consequences that we can discuss, but we really won't know until we see what happens.
Professor Armour was making the point that you've still got a pretty high bar here for a number of reasons, including you have to get an attorney who's going to be willing to take this case on because she or he believes that there's a chance of being awarded damages. And what do you think? Do you think that it would be, you know, difficult except in egregious cases to get an attorney to take a case?
Yes, the professor is completely right about that. The point that I was trying to make about having a chilling effect is that the myth as to what can happen. That is, to people who aren't lawyers and don't understand this the way the professor and I do, that what most people think the law is not. And if there gets out that there's this idea that if you call 911 and you get it wrong, that you can be sued, that I think will have a chilling effect. Because there's a big difference between what the professor and I know, and the professor knows a lot more than I do, and that what most people think of what the law is or isn't.
I want to thank you, gentlemen, for being with us, both of whom regular guests with us to talk about the law on Air Talk. That's former prosecutor, now criminal defense attorney, Ambrosio Rodriguez, and Jody Armour, USC Gould School of Law professor, also frequently joining us on Air Talk. His recently published book is N*GGA Theory, for which he talked with us about that book just, I'm guessing 3-4 weeks ago. And you can find that conversation that Professor Armour and I had in our Air Talk archives. Coming up, it's the triple play. We're going to take a look at the World Series Game 1 that starts just after 5 o'clock our time this afternoon. We'll be back in just 90 seconds.